Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, going to jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us tomorrow on Locker Room. We're going to be recording again in the afternoon like we did last week's episode, breaking live trade news and all of the NBA trade deadline stuff. That was a lot of fun, so we're going to do that again this week. So go download it right now and check out our Twitter tomorrow to see when we go live, changing the way we talk about sports. Matt, welcome back from the weekend. Good to have you back. Disappointing first two games as we have a third of the new roster as we knew it just last week. How are you? How are you digesting the Spurs and Warriors losses?
What up, Jordan? What up, Bulls Nation? I think I'm digesting it better than a lot of Bulls fans, especially after that loss to the Warriors last night. I was surprised by how many tweets I saw, how many comments I saw from Bulls fans saying, like, you know, we made all these trades. We gave up these draft picks to get this all-star, and we look like this. Like, we don't look any better. Like, people questioning the trade for Vooch, people questioning Billy Donovan. And I'm sitting here saying, like, what are y'all talking about? It was the second game after a huge, you know, a collection of changes to the roster. We got four or five different guys coming to the rotation. Billy Donovan, to his credit, is trying a bunch of different stuff in a very short amount of time. Again, because of this season's already condensed scheduling and the part of the schedule the Bulls are in right now, not a lot of time to practice with your new pieces. So he's basically using games as practices as far as playing with different looks and different lineups. And I'm sorry, but those Bulls fans who thought we were going to just see some meteoric rise and some gigantic 180 overnight, I don't know what you expected, but clearly you were expecting something that is not reality. Like, I know that this is going to be an uphill climb for this team to even get into the play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference. The schedule is brutal. They're on the road. They're about to play Suns, Jazz, and Nets in their next three games. And you're tinkering with a bunch of new pieces. I was shocked by how much Bulls fans were hating after that loss to the Warriors.
I don't understand the panic. Did we get too drunk on Vooch over the last like 72 hours that
somebody gave
the hammer to Bulls fans and we just crushed the glass box surrounding the panic button? I mean, I'm with you, man. And Zach LaVine, like, let's start here. Zach LaVine's not 100%. Billy Donovan even addressed it. And whether you want to take that, if you're a critical Bulls fan, you want to take that as an excuse, go for it. But he doesn't look right. He doesn't look the same as he did coming back from the All-Star break. The Bulls have been terrible even just in the two games that they've had since the NBA trade deadline. They're 3-6 before the trade deadline. They're 3-8 right now, post All-Star break. They've been bad. It's not going to happen overnight. I'm surprised too, man. I can't believe people were ready to set things on fire. We're getting tweets like, hey, did you see Hutchinson looked good and Gafford looked good? By the way, they did look good too for the Wizards. it's going to take some time, man. And they're on the road, too, and you're playing a difficult Western Conference teams over the next couple of weeks. It's just going to take some time. We better hope Zach LaVine can stay healthy, though, man, because he is truly the anchor.
Yeah, he really is. And you can see, even with the two good games that Vooch has had, I mean, what did he have last night? Like 20-something, 9-6?
The only four shots he missed were all four threes.
Right, yeah.
He's perfect from two.
If you're getting that production with the normal production that we've become accustomed to with Zach this season, as in an all-star who's scoring 28 a game, then we're going to be in much better shape. But Zach acknowledged after the game that the ankle is clearly bothering him. I think he said he even tweaked it again in the game last night, and that it has not been 100%, and that he's just been, you know, toughing it out and playing through it. And credit and respect to him for doing so, because he's the leader of this team and they need his production out there. But whether it's just like his rhythm that seems to be a little bit off, trying to force it a little bit more, like, you know, a younger, less good version of Zach that we can all still remember when he tried to force things too much, and that it just doesn't look like he's getting the same lift, whether he's driving and jumping or on his shot, it's noticeable. So Zach acknowledged after the game, you know, it may have gotten to a point now where I need to talk to coach and talk to our training staff and maybe decide to take a game or two off to really get the ankle right, because the last thing you want is for Zach to seriously mess up that ankle while playing on it when it's not 100%.
It's not worth it, man. It's just not worth it.
Get it back into the right, you know, get it back to where it needs to be, then that's probably going to be better long term.
You're right. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it for just this season, man. I already said yesterday's episode, I'm like, I'm already looking forward and ahead, and I'm more excited for next season just because they're going to have an entire summer to develop chemistry among each other. These guys will get an opportunity to learn how they play. Doing it on the fly is going to be difficult. It's difficult for any team to do that. I don't think it's quite set in for Bulls fans how different this team looks in just a week. It's a third of a new roster. It's going to take some time, man. I'm a little bit concerned about the fact that, I don't know, wait, let me put it this way. Are you more concerned about Zach LaVine's health, or are you more concerned about whatever the hell is going on with Lauri Markkanen? We can get into it, but give me a quick answer here. Which one are you a little bit more concerned about?
If we're being honest, I'm more concerned about Zach's ankle, because Zach is going to be here next season, and we don't know if Lauri is.
Let's get into, on the other side of this break, let's get into a little bit about some of the positives to take away, at least from last night's game against the Warriors. Daniel Theis looked really good, man. He's going to be a fan favorite. So we'll talk about him, and we'll also talk about the decision not to start Lauri and going with a different lineup, and also take a look maybe at the schedule too over the next couple of weeks, because the Bulls just have a brutal haul. So hopefully Zach LaVine is okay enough to play in the majority of these games. He's not going to be out long term. Before I do that, I want to tell our listeners about our friends at Locker Room. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social media audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We just hosted our first Locker Room last week, right after the NBA trade deadline. It was a whole lot of fun, so thanks to everybody who's already signed up for an account and helped kick that off. So if you missed out on it last week, you heard our episode from last Thursday. We're going to continue to do that every week throughout the season. So go join us. So go sign up for an account right now so you can be a part of the conversation, as we're going to do an episode tomorrow. Again, go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on only iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA channel, NBA group, and go ahead and follow us at Locked On Bulls and at Jordan C. Malley. You're going to find an incredible amount of rooms around a bunch of different leagues with a bunch of different teams. So even if you're not just a Chicago sports fan, but you're a Bulls fan, maybe you're, say, a Jets fan, and say you're a Yankees fan, you can go to all of those different rooms and find it all in one place. Download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Let's talk a little bit about the positives, too. And I even want to touch on something from the Spurs game as well. But, I mean, Daniel Theis is exactly what we were asking for at the bare minimum, right? before the trade deadline. Just a body in there that can do things, and he was great last night, man. I think I'm the most excited about what he's going to be able to bring to that bench unit, and certainly delivered last night. What did you like about him?
Everything. I mean, I've always been a big Daniel Tice fan before the Bulls got him. I mean, you know me, Jordan. You know how much of a Joakim stan I am. And, like, not to just lump them together, but, and certainly Daniel Tice is no Joakim Noah, at least not to Bulls fans yet. But the guy is actually someone who plays bigger than he is, which to me is the reverse of the problem that the Bulls have had with a lot of guys recently. Bigs who play like they're not big, whether that be Lowry or the recently departed Wendell Carter Jr. Tice is listed at 6'8", and he bodies people harder than I have ever seen Wendell or Lowry body somebody. You saw it last night, whether it was the block, that one come from behind block he had, that swat against the backboard was just awesome. He crashes the boards. And I think he's also a pretty underrated asset offensively. You saw not only his willingness to you know, put up shots from the mid-range, but also as a facilitator. He made some really nice dimes last night. Plus, he just gives you that extra layer of motor and energy and intensity. I went online at halftime and looked. There are not Daniel Tice Bulls jerseys available for sale yet. As soon as there are, I'm buying one.
Guess who Basketball Reference has as the second most similar to Daniel Tice's game over the last three seasons?
Across the entire NBA?
Yes. In terms, they grade it by win shares, but in terms of their overall grading system, who is most similar to Daniel Tice?
I mean, you want to give me a hint?
He's a guy we talked about trading for multiple times during this, leading up to this trade deadline.
Brummond?
No, it's Steven Adams, man. 91.4 similarity score from Basketball Reference, which is interesting. I mean, we got sort of a Steven Adams light of some. Basketball Reference backs it up too, man. He's just going to be a ton of fun. He's going to be the energy, the spark that the Bulls need off the bench. It's just a big, again, like you said, figuring it out with his offensive game too. The threes are going to come and go, but just knowing that he can step out there and at least somebody's got to step halfway towards him and somewhat defend him. Like before, it was like Wendell steps behind the three-point line and basically everybody left them open. Things like that, I think, are going to help. They still got to figure out what they're doing at the point guard situation. But for the most part, they patched up one of the biggest holes on this team. We just got to figure out how to play together and somewhat quickly if you're still looking at a playoff spot. Any other concerns back and forth from these two games that we didn't touch on? Any major concerns outside of what we've already discussed?
I mean, just what we have pretty much already known, which is that the defense is still an issue. And I think that some of what we saw last night against the Warriors will get cleaned up a little bit in that, you know, Donovan threw a bunch of different looks out there. So especially when you're getting new rotations, including new pieces who just arrived like Tuesday, that you're going to have some communication issues on the defensive end. You're going to have some assignment and switching issues on the defensive end. And it doesn't help that compounding that issue is that they're getting a feel for each other on the offensive end. And last night, the Bulls had 20 plus turnovers. Turnovers have been a problem even before they went out and got a bunch of new pieces. So when you're turning the ball over, it's a hell of a lot harder to play defense when you're scrambling to get back. So hopefully they clean things up on the offensive end. They get their turnovers to a reasonable number, and that helps the defense along. But, you know, Tice is a great addition for some rim protection and some toughness and some rebounding. I also think we should get more looks and more extensive looks at Troy Brown Jr., who was not the first one off the bench or even close to it. Arch came off the bench before he did. Even Javonte Green came off the bench before he did last night. I think that guy can give you some quality defensive minutes at the wing, maybe kind of like a combo guard spot as well. So obviously the defense is still an issue, but we already knew that.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Aminu or Javonte Green, which I thought Javonte Green in spots is going to be good. Troy Brown might take some time. It might not even click fully this year. I'd be excited. I'm excited for him being able to at least stick around a little bit. Denzel hasn't been consistent enough to fill that that hole either that's been left by Otto and Chandler Hutchison. Nobody's really been consistent off the bench shooting, and with Kobe out, it makes things even more depleted. I liked what I saw from Aminu. At least he's going to bring some defensive presence off the bench as well. I don't know if there's much of a shot there, and if he can just hit corner threes, I'm cool with that and play defense. That's more than fine, fulfilling the need that I see there. The Bulls got to figure the turnovers out, though, man. That's the most important thing. They're second most in turnovers per game since the All-Star break, so they've got to figure that out. They're basically running themselves out of games a lot of times since the All-Star break in that first half, whether it be 8, 10 turnovers, and they're just lazy, stupid turnovers, too. So the Bulls got to figure it out, man. I don't know where they're going to get some consistent shooting help. Like we talked about that as one of the needs of this team. Lowry hasn't been it. Kobe's been hurt. Now Zach is hurt. Where are you going to get your consistent offense? Hopefully Vooch is the guy. Maybe they just say, fuck it, give Vooch the ball and let him shoot 20 times if Zach is truly not going to be able to play the same minutes over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I see nothing wrong with that. Vooch is the guy you just paid to bring in. He's an all-star, and he's used to a heavy workload. I think that when he arrived in the trade, he and Zach were both pretty excited to say, okay, cool, I don't have to carry as much of the load every night because I've got another all-star caliber scorer to work with. And even with Zach not being 100%, you've already in a couple of games seen what those two can do in pick and roll scenarios, in dribble handoffs, in pick and pops, and it's lethal. You can already tell it's going to be lethal. And not only for them, but for the other players on the floor. Like, I think one of my favorite parts of last night's game, and the Bulls did it right out of the gate, was take advantage of Zach or Vooch getting doubled, and Patrick Williams being the beneficiary of that. There were a couple of really nice passes that Vooch had out of the double team once he drew it to P-Dub, who had a great clean look that he confidently took and knocked down. So that's all going to be continuing to build, and assuming that Zach is himself and healthy and 100% Zach, the offense is going to take off, man. I'm not worried about that.
I'd like to see P-Dub get a couple more shots, especially if guys like White are missing and you need somebody to shoot. Markkanen's coming off the bench. I'd love to see more shots from him.
13 shots last night, and he knocked down 7 of them. He had an awesome game, 14, 6, and 4 assists.
The jumper looks great, too, man. I don't know if those are just like, if they have a routine set of whatever 5-7 plays that they run through at the beginning of games, but it seems like every time Patrick Williams is getting a jumper and a sweet looking bucket within the first 3 minutes of every single game. So I'd like to see more from him if he's willing to take on the load. And I think the pressure should be at least a little bit less for him as far as what he has to do on the defensive side. Now that they made a couple of moves to sort of shore up that defense, he doesn't have to feel all the pressure on him. Let's get to Lowry Markkanen. Let's get to the decision about Lowry Markkanen. But first, I want to tell you guys quickly about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Make sure to use the promo code LOCKEDON.
Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is also brought to you by Built Bar. We've been telling you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all of their bars. And now it's time to find out which Built Bar is best. It's Built Bar Madness. Go to BuiltBar.com or to @bar_built on Twitter to cast your vote. Remember to use that promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
Thighs, baby!
So the decision not to start Lowry, I think it's I think it's justified, man. I mean, Thaddeus Young is clearly... I don't think he has justified it all being moved back to the bench, even with the addition of an all-star center. He's going to have to get through whatever he's got going on right now, because he clearly has not been the same player from the first 15 games. I saw his stats this morning. Somebody tweeted him about first 15 games, and then from that point to now, and it's staunchly different, man. So whatever his role may be, I know he's got pressure on him too with the contract coming up this summer. He's got to figure it out, and maybe it starts on the bench with alongside another shooter in Coby White.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that you can make an argument that benching Lowry is not justified. I was a little bit surprised, but then like, okay, I guess I can see it when Donovan started Lowry alongside Vooch in Vooch's first game. But honestly, my initial gut feeling was like, all right, well, so Vooch arrives. Vooch is going to start at the center. They're going to shift Thad to the four, P-Dub at the three, and bring Lowry off the bench. Like, that's what I assumed would happen right out of the gate. Billy gave Lowry one start to look at him and Vooch, and I think immediately recognized the defensive problems that that front court pairing presents. And Donovan even spoke to it after the Warriors game, saying, yeah, I just think I like the pairings of Vooch and Thad and then Lowry and Theis, because you get offense and defense in each of those pairings, and it makes sense. And look, if Lowry's going to give you 13-6 off the bench in 22 minutes or whatever, that's a hell of a lot better than getting only that from a starter who was supposed to be, theoretically, your second best player behind Zach LaVine. And he has clearly shown to us right now that he is not. And you mentioned those splits from before his injury and after his injury. His shooting has just fallen out of the freaking basement. He's like barely 40% from the field. He's 31% from downtown. And to me, the Vooch-Thad pairing makes all the sense in the world. You get Thad's savvy playmaking abilities from the high post. You continue to see him and Sato work a two-man game well. And like, it makes all the sense of the world. Understandably frustrating for Lowry, who said last night he believes he's a starter in this league, and maybe some team this summer will pay him to be a starter for them. But right now, even though he survived the trade deadline, all signs are pointing to Lowry, if he really wants to get that big of a paycheck, not being in a Bulls uniform next season.
I think it could still be a matchup thing too, with Lowry and Thaddeus Young, and whoever's got the hotter hand, whichever matchup is better. I could see Lowry maybe taking on guys of a lesser degree when the Bulls, like against Phoenix, for example, the next game coming up, I could see him being put back into the starting lineup. I don't know why. I don't understand why people seem to be freaking out about Lauri Markkanen's him going to the bench as much as they did about Coby White going to the bench, or him being forced to become a starter again. Whatever's going to get Lowry out of this funk that he's in. And again, I keep pushing back, Matt, to, I think at some point over the last month, this front office, this coaching staff, they kind of just got fed up with the excuses, the complaining, the same thing happening over and over again. And it's like, you know what? If you don't like it, kind of tough. And you saw some of those guys are no longer here anymore. And it's not just a one guy issue. It was a whole team, a whole culture, a whole philosophy type of thing. I still think that there's remnants of that from Boylan last year. I still think that's lingering over to guys that have been here for a few years. I don't think Lowry's an exception to that. I want to see whatever he can do to fix, and maybe this lights a fire under his ass, man, and maybe he gets pissed off. That would be the motivation, is get pissed off and go drop 25 off the bench. The Bulls need a consistent score. We still don't have that. Vooch is great. He's going to give you 21 to 25, but if Zach's not on the floor next to him, you still need that secondary score so Lowry can be that guy. I think I'm with a lot of Bulls fans in saying that, yes, unless he's willing to take a smaller deal this summer, all signs, and like you just said, all signs are pointing in an indication of, hey, go see what you can get out in the free agent market, and if we like what we see, we will match an offer sheet, but we're not guaranteeing you what you asked for, not even close.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I think, Lowry knows that. He said he believes that he's a starter in this league last night, but he also said that he understood and that he's never questioned Billy and that, you know, he just wants to be, you know, a good team guy. So you got 20 some games to prove something else, Lowry.
I don't think he's soft either, man. Like, I listened to what Kali said, and Kali was saying, like, if they truly thought everybody here, including Markkanen, had this mentality of being whatever, can't overcome adversity, the mental side of the game, all of that, the culture that happened over the last couple of years, he thinks that Lowry would have been gone already. It would have been a whole cleaning of house. So I don't know. They see something in Lowry that they didn't see in a guy like Wendell Carter Jr. And I'm wondering what they still see in him and what Billy Donovan sees in him. I think he's giving him the same tough love that he gave to Daniel Gafford, that he gave to Coby White. He's not treating any single player differently on this team, maybe outside of Zach, but Zach deserves it. He's not treating any other player, any other situation special. I appreciate that, and we'll just have to see. I guess time will tell how he responds, how they respond, but all I can say is the Bulls do need Lowry. They need him to shoot consistently, and shoot with confidence. If you've got reaction to that, you can hit us up at 331-979-1369. You want to talk about some of the lineup changes, some of the moves that they've decided to make over the last couple of days since the trade deadline. You can hit us up 331-979-1369 on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Thanks to Locker Room again for partnering with us this week's episode. We're going to be doing a Locker Room again tomorrow, so check out our Twitter. Make sure you go sign up for an account so you can be a part of the Locker Room live tomorrow. We will tweet that out a couple hours prior so you have time. You know when we're going to go live. And the episode, if you don't have an iOS device, the episode will be in your feeds almost right after. So you may not be able to be a part of the conversation live, but you can hear the entire thing like you did last week right after. Hit us up, though, on our text and voicemail line. We're going to do mailbag tomorrow, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful night. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.